just going to use this. So, have you ever read the story in the Bible? Let's say it's the crossing of the Red Sea. And just been amazed at that and have this image in your mind with Charlton Heston leading all the people through the waters. And then you turn a page and Israel, it's like it never happened. You know, they begin to doubt God and they grumble and they murmur. And you say, guys, just remember what happened just a page ago. How can you have already, if I was there, I would. Well, I've heard from people who have been in that desert. It does not take long for you to only be focused on your thirst, or you only be focused on what you don't have. And one way that we can help each other remember and to realize what God's doing is to share these stories, not just in worship service, but in the community. Share what God's doing in your life. Don't hide it. It's not bragging if God did it. He wants us to do this, okay? We're not boasting about what we've done. We're boasting about what God has done. But if you're like me, and I doubt there's many who have a memory as bad as mine, you will forget the things that God has done in your life. And so what I've started doing is what I've wanted to do for years, which is journaling. And each night I write just a little thank you to God for something, just, you know, something that happened that day. And it's fun to go back over those and read things that I've written months ago and see that God really is looking out for me. He's got my picture in his back pocket, and he likes to hang around me for some reason. This is from May 24th. I'm just going to read you what I wrote that night. The internet guy came to repair our cable, which had been knocked down by the hailstorm. He could have come at any time during the day between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. He came during the 30 minutes I was in the backyard filling my raised garden bed with the soil. The insurance adjuster also came today to look at our roof, etc., after the hailstorm. He not only went to LCU, he was a Church of Christ minister for many years and the son of a minister. In fact, he's still a hospice chaplain. He even knows David Fraze, a friend of mine, very well. So thank you, God, for continuing to order my days. And he does. He loves just working little things out like that for me all during the day. So this is an opportunity for you to come up and just share a little something that God's been doing in your life. And like we said, if you would rather not come up here, just raise your hand. Lane's going to be on the lookout, and he will be happy to take the microphone to you. So we open it up now for a time of testimony.
I'll avoid the rush and be first. I wrote my first song in junior high, and I had a crush on a girl that didn't know I was alive. And I've written songs occasionally since then, but I had been writing them for 20 some odd years before it dawned on me that if I had a talent, then it needed to be devoted to God. And so my attention turned holy thoughts rather than crushes on girls. And I have known since I began writing that kind of song that sometime I would need to sing it to somebody besides me and God. And so what you're seeing now is something that's been waiting or waiting in the wings for sometimes 30 years or so. And I'm going to let you help me. We're going to sing this first part together, and then I'll continue with the part that I wrote. What the Lord is doing.
Well, if I was going to tell you all the wonderful gifts that God has given me over the years, I'd be up here all day. But I can tell you, for a lot of y'all that don't know my past, I was a IV drug user for many, many years and a prostitute. And I lived a life of just a lot of crime. And I've spent several years in the penitentiary. And one day, 8 years ago, God redeemed me from that life. I've been clean for 8 years, coming the 29th of this month. And it's only because of and all the glory goes to the Lord. Because he's the only one that did it. On my own, I couldn't have done it. I wanted to give him all the glory.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. When I thought back, especially over this past year, those words from Charles Dickens' opening line of Tale of Two Cities sprang to my mind, because if your family is like mine, perhaps you've had some highs, but you've also had some real low lows. In my personal family, there was a divorce and job loss, and I've lost a lot of friends. I counted some of the people I know personally. There have been 7 women widowed within the past 12 months. That's hard. That's a lot of loss. Some of them were at the end of their lives and not expected. Some very untimely, and young people. But God is with us all. He is still good, and he is with us, and he helps us through those hard times. One really amazing thing that I'm still kind of in awe about was that I performed my first wedding ceremony, y'all. A dear friend of many, many years asked me, and I was extremely honored, but I was also totally terrified. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a Church of Christ woman. Can I do this? You know, I was like, oh my goodness. So I immediately ran to one of our elders, Rick Allen, who's so awesome. And I said, is this okay? And I wish I had written down word for word his answer, but I think he probably reminded me of the verse that we are priests of the kingdom. And I was like, oh, oh, is that right? Am I a priest, you know? So I had to start studying it. And yeah, we are. Every one of us is called to be a priest and an intercessor. And I thought about Jesus, how I was thinking about when we are put into the kingdom. And in my mind, at first, I was thinking a sideways move, you know, just this kingdom. And then God reminded me, no, you are lifted up. And it caused me to think about who else was lifted up to be our great high priest, the intercessor between heaven and earth. And that is our job. People are hurting. People are lost. People need to have people interceding and praying and teaching and speaking at every opportunity. And I'm glad that David gave us this opportunity. And also he's reminded us several times that we are priests of the kingdom. And I found a number of Bible verses, but one was from 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Help us, Lord, to continue to rise up and intercede between heaven and earth and be your priests and tell of the good news. Thank you.
Well, I wasn't going to do a testimony, and I thought, no, there's something God's been doing in my life. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Short scripture, but James led a song, though I live or though I die, I rest in your embrace. I was very sick for a month, 101 fever for 18 days. And there were nights that I really and truly, one night in particular, I kind of panicked because I was like, I could die. I might not wake up. And then a peace came over me, the Spirit's peace came over me and was like, that's okay. I couldn't sing that this morning, James, because it hit me so close. And I know that there were lots of prayers, and there were lots of nutrition that I didn't want to eat anything, but there were people that brought food that sounded good. They were very wise. I think they were Spirit-led to bring me those things. And, of course, Alan was a nursemaid. I'm usually the one that takes care of everybody, but he was very good to do that, and I appreciate that. But that scripture, just to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And God just gave me a time that became very, it jumped off the page and became life to me. So.
I'm Pam, for those who don't know me. God has been moving in my life and blessing me a lot lately. In February, my daughter and her family have got me from a psych hospital because I tried to kill myself. And they brought me home, back to Texas. And I prayed for that. Believe me, I prayed to come home. And then I've been praying since I've been back to get back in the groups, to get back in the church. And my son-in-law, for some reason, decided to take me to church. And I met Maxine and her family. And we've been together ever since. She's been taking me to groups. She's been taking me everywhere I need to go. So that's been by the grace of God. Last Sunday I was baptized. I prayed about that. because I've been baptized in 08, and I wasn't sure if that's what God wanted me to do. And so I prayed about it, and then I went to Sister Becky's church on NA night, and God just told me, this is what I want you to do. So I was baptized with a bunch of my NA group people. There were 7 of us. And that was one of the best days of my life. Just being in the grace of God, being clean and being sober, I could not do that without him and my family and my new family, which is all of you, you know. And so God's been really, really working hard in my life, blessing me, giving me what he thinks I need, taking away what he thinks I don't need. So, yeah, he's been really blessing me this year. I was in a bad spot in February, and that's about all I have. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name's Daniel. I used to come here. My parents still come here. That's my wife, Anna, if you haven't met her. I'm excited to be here. God's been doing so much in my life. Whew. It's fun. Like, life is hard for all of us during COVID. You know, I didn't have a job for a year after having a bachelor's degree. That's life. It's great to see what God's done. And I moved from one family here to another family at Grace Community Church in Arlington. And, just some truths in the last 4 years that God has showed me is, we actually sang it today. James sang it, you know, be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. The picture in Revelation of after the Great Commission is finished, you know, there's a movement in every people group, and all people are worshiping God, and being compelled to do things to do the Great Commission by the love of Christ. I think a lot of you guys know that I'm called to go to people who have not heard of the gospel yet. They haven't heard the gospel yet. And it's great because Anna also wants to do that. So I'm very thankful that God has shown me he's shown me a lot of his heart. And I want to tell you guys that I've grown a lot. I'm going to continue to grow because the Lord is amazing. And so I'm so thankful that I can go from one family to another family. And I get to come back to this family. So thank you.
I feel like I should turn my back to you and stand over there to talk, but speaking of COVID that Daniel mentioned, COVID was rough, wasn't it? Especially the spring of 2020. I work with I work with children who are visually impaired and auditory impaired. Many of those students I work with are multiply impaired. So virtual instruction, no bueno. It's hard on all kids, especially hard on those kids. And I really struggled because I am a people person, and not having physical contact with my students and children was extremely hard for me. And we stayed busy. In fact, in May, Kristen and Dean, their lease was up. They wanted to buy a house. Within a month, they found a house, packed up, moved in, and then the next week, Daniel and Anna got married. And I was in charge of the decorations for their wedding, and of course hands-on with with grandkids, helping them move and everything. It was a crazy time. And during that time, God said, but wait a minute. I have a job for you. And I honestly said, not right now, God. I'm not ready. I'm not ready emotionally, spiritually, physically, as far as time goes. But he didn't listen to me. So with his guidance, I started a new group on Facebook. I didn't even know how. My daughter Kristen had to help me. And it's called Scripture Sisters. And it really was a selfish thing that I wanted to start it, even though God was telling me to do it, because I needed accountability. I was struggling, especially during COVID, which you would think I had all the time in the world, right? But I was struggling to have a daily walk with him. And so I started this group not knowing what it would look like, kind of making it up as I went along. And basically what it is we write scripture every day. Every day you physically write scripture. And I am very much a tactile person, and so anything I can do kinesthetically helps me process it. And so I just put it out there. I did it myself and just presented it out there. There are 773 people in the group. I don't know most of them. And I've had people I don't even know call me and ask me to pray for them or ask me to help them work through a problem. People all the time have messaged me, can you pray for this? Absolutely, I can do that. And again, it's so weird to say this because I don't like tooting my own horn except to my own family. But this is a God thing. And not everybody writes every day, I know that. But it's a connection. We have people, I counted up states one time and it was 30-something states and a few countries. And that those women can come together with totally different backgrounds, come together and write scripture together is a pretty amazing thing. It has taught me a lot. One lady put yesterday, I'm ashamed to say this, but the only verse I have memorized is the one that we're doing today, for God so loved the world. And I thought, hey, at least you have one memorized. Let's learn some more. So we're going to kind of work through that. So anyway, that's how God has been working in my life, and it has made me accountable to being in his word every day and helping others do the same. If any of you would like to be a part of it, mostly women, it's called Sally Scripture Sisters. If you don't do Facebook, I'd be happy to provide every month the scriptures that we do. But God moves in very mysterious ways, even through Facebook.
I was diagnosed with blood clots in my lungs 5 years ago. I was told I had 24 hours to live. But God is good. And he kept me going, and I kept praying, and obviously I made it. But 3 days after that, when I was still in ICU, I developed clots in my legs. And once again, was told that all the family needed to come up there and say their goodbyes, and pretty much had already made me dead. But God delivered me from that. And he has been so good to me throughout life. And the number three is always in my life. I don't know why, but things just keep coming up in threes, because I had blood clots. 3 days after that, I had more blood clots. And God has been so good. And Layla just keeps me on my toes all the time. But God has delivered me from drug addiction. He's delivered me from all kinds of flaws that I had within me that I didn't even know I had. I have a wonderful family, wonderful kids I'm so proud of. And during this past year, I've made a family with y'all. I've been a member of this church for 3 years now. And I appreciate everything that y'all have done for me and my family. My step-study sisters have been there for me tremendously this year. I've gone through a lot, and within the past year, we've struggled, but God has always been there. no matter what. It doesn't matter if you're down now. It doesn't matter if you're having the best day of your life. God is right there with you, and he will lead you through anything. I'm thankful for y'all. I'm thankful for my kids. And just know that no matter what you're going through, it's all going to be okay. God will lead you through the worst times, best times. And just don't give up, because no matter if they tell you you've got 24 hours to live or you've got 20 years, you know, you have to keep on trusting. And my trust has built so much this year with God. I'm sorry, my voice is just cracking. I don't think I'm getting this. But I just want to tell you that I am walking with the Lord, and I'm so proud for that. No, there's nothing that I wouldn't look back on, because everything I've gone through is for a reason, and I know that things are only going to be better. Say hi or what? That's it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, this is an oldie but a goodie, because it's so powerful to share. Have you ever asked yourself, God, where are you? Do you hear me? Do you even hear me when I cry out to you? Do you care? Well, I used to ask myself that a lot, and I found out on this particular day 14 years ago that he does. I was the only parent in the home at the time, and I had three young children. I had gotten them upstairs after school, kind of settled down. I thought, if you can settle three small children down for the evening so I could go down and cook dinner. Well, as I was walking down the stairs, I had a seizure out of nowhere and fell halfway down the flight to a landing there in the middle of the stairs. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move, but I could hear, and I was fully conscious. Well, Colin, being the independent young man that he was and still is, which is wonderful, had decided at that moment to climb up on his dresser in his room to get something. It was very large and heavy, and it was top heavy. So as soon as I had fallen, I hear a scream, help! The dresser had fallen on top of him, and there's no way that he could be released from that. And my other children were too small to lift the dresser off of him, and they're screaming, help, help, mom, come help. Well, of course, I'm very conscious of what's going on, but I can't solve the problem. No way can I solve it. God, I cry out, God, I need you to hear me now. I can't solve this problem, but you can. Well, just then, a lady appeared at my door, and for some reason, we'd left the door unlocked. Very unusual for Houston, Texas. Knocked on the door. I hear the door open. I don't know who it is, but she says, Jill, is everything okay? I've come to help. A lady from church who I'd never spoken to before, didn't know her name, didn't know anything about her, but I had seen her before. She comes to the landing and says, Jill, God told me to come right now that you needed me. Oh, my goodness. I've heard people say, God told me to do this, or God revealed to me, or God said to me. I was very skeptical of that for many years, because I don't feel like I've ever heard that before from him. Maybe I haven't. I'm just not listening. But she had listened, and she heeded the call. So she immediately figured out what was wrong, went and freed Colin, and thank goodness Colin is just fine today. My other two, she settled down, then she came to help me and make sure I was all right. By the way, have you eaten dinner? I've got something in my car for you guys. I'd just been to the store, so that was great because I hadn't cooked dinner yet. You know, it says in the Bible, God knows what you need before you even ask him. When I cried out to him, my answer was in the car on the way to my house. He'd already answered my prayer before I even asked. So does he hear me when I cry out to him? Does he hear you when you cry out to him? Yes, he does. Does he answer prayer? Yes, he does. Does he know what you need before you even ask? Yes, he does. And also the fact that she heeded his call. I think sometimes, you know, we may think, oh, is that God saying I need to do that? And who was it that said, oh, Sally, was it you that said, God, I'm busy right now. But you know what? You did what he asked. And I'm so glad that that lady did what he asked that day.
Excuse me. I just want to say my testimony because God makes my miracle when I had cancer and a tumor in my back and my breast. And I just to thank you, Brother Greg and his wife Lisa over there. We're going to treatment. And I always pray to God, all of y'all brothers and sisters pray for me. And they're still praying for me and my whole family. And I pray to Jerry and his wife and Margene and Rick. They helped me out what I could. I was sick. I didn't know I was going to live or die. And my sister said, don't give up. Don't give up. I never give up. The more I get close to the Bible, the more I get close to God. To all of y'all, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hear Lauren now. Here comes the floodgates. Actually, David asked me to read a few passages throughout as people were getting up, and we weren't sure exactly what the response would be today to this testimony call. So I'm going to read just two of them real quick, and then I'm going to give you a short testimony of my own. 1 Thessalonians 5. 9 through 11. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. And then Ephesians 4. 29 through 32. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Years of testimony is too much to give right here. So I just break it down into little pieces. I was born and raised in a church. I've believed my whole life. But for the first half of my life, or more than the first half of my life, I believed based on my mom and dad's faith. I came to church because that was the right thing to do. See, I also lived my worldly life, and I decided I wanted to join the Marines because I wanted to be tough. I wanted to be the bad guy, the big bad guy that nobody would mess with. I wanted to be the guy that any boy wanting to date my daughter would tremble when he saw me. It's working. But it wasn't until after I ran into some walls in the faith that I actually started to seriously consider my own faith. That I seriously considered my own walk. I got ran off. We got our feelings hurt and we left Eastside. Whenever I first came out of the military. And then, you know, we went to Colonial Hill for a little while, and then, you know, we got our feelings hurt and we left there. I wouldn't get baptized again because I'd already been baptized as a boy, and, well, then we went to Word is Life here in town. Did you guess what happened? Got my feelings hurt. I think there was good reason for my feelings to be hurt in all of those situations. But there was a different choice I could have made in each of those situations. See, testimony is not always the happy side. Sometimes we need to tell the testimony that hurts. The testimony that opens the eyes. We were doing something. We were living out of wedlock together whenever Eastside came to us and told us that we were doing wrong. Their approach was wrong. But we were living in sin. You see, Colonial Hill wouldn't accept me as a member because I had not been baptized in their church. Or in a Baptist church. To me, that was wrong. I think one baptism for all. But it got me thinking, and I realized that the baptism is, when I was a boy, was in ignorance. I realized that I needed to die to myself because I was not quite ready to walk in life. And Word is Life. We were ready for a change because we weren't getting what I thought was the nourishment that we needed. Eastside provided a well thought out sermon. We teach the word here, and looking back, so does Word is Life. But they just do it in such a way that reaches people who are maybe in a different place than I am. It hurt my feelings. Each place offers something so wonderful. Eastside offers something so wonderful. Decisions are made here even today that I hurt my feelings. But it's things and days like today that allow us to say, I'm willing to stand here and work through the troubles with you. And I hope that you're willing to work through the troubles with me. I went completely off base here. Let me give you a short testimony of some good things. When I worked with the wind farm, I'd drive back and forth. And every day I'd pray on the way, Lord, put somebody in my path today that I can help, that needs a ride or something. And every day it seemed like whenever I'd ask for it, somebody would get out there, be hitchhiking on the road or just walking on the side, and I'd get a chance to pull over and help them out. I'd come home and Elizabeth would get on me because I was picking up hitchhikers. Then she had some experience, I think, at a walk or something, and she said, I'm sorry, I now realize what you were doing this whole time. But then one day, my family got to see it. We were all sitting at the table together, and no sooner had we stopped praying the prayer, Lord, put somebody in our path so that we could share the blessings that we've had? Did somebody knock on the door and say, can I get a ride? I don't know if you remember that or not, but it was a neat opportunity. I may have confused you more today than I did anything else, but understand that it's confusing. But something that I've learned throughout all of my life is that the grace of God is sufficient for you. No matter how confusing it is, no matter how broken you are, He's there, and He's already found a way for it. Stop fighting it. That's all I got.
Well, I'm actually kind of glad that you put it that way. I'm kind of set up with what I've got in mind. There's a lot of people sharing victories in their lives, and that's great. It's awesome. We've got our own victories in our lives. But here's the thing. Like you said, testimony is not just the victories, right? God works in everything. I believe that. If I were to sit in a room with myself 8 years from the me from 8 years ago, and I were to sit in a room and have a conversation, I guarantee it would turn into a debate. Because my whole life, I love science and history and things that are tangible and certain. And I am, I've been obsessed with certainty, knowing the right answer, you know. And I carried that over to my faith. And so 8 years ago, I had the answers, you know. I had all the right answers about how things worked. And then life threw a curveball. You know, and I've talked about it before. We lost our daughter 7 years ago. And here's the thing. For almost 9 months that Catherine carried that child, every single day we prayed, Lord, be with this child, be with Catherine. Pray that everything goes well, child is healthy and stuff. You know, and that experience really changed my relationship with prayer and with faith. Because I've heard about people praying and saying, oh, I prayed for this and it happened. We prayed every day. We believed. And God didn't answer the way we'd hoped. I bet so many of you have similar experiences. That you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and God didn't answer the way you hoped. And well-meaning people would come to us and say, you know, it's all part of God's plan. It's all part of God's plan. And word of advice, when someone's grieving, don't tell them that. God did bring some good to the loss of our daughter. But to this day, I still go, that shouldn't have happened. We live in a broken world, and that's not the way things should be. Parents shouldn't have to bury their children. But what that has done for me the last few years is it's changed my relationship with faith. I went from being obsessed with certainty to comfortable with mystery. Comfortable with doubt. Doubt to me is not the enemy of faith. It's for me, it's a constant friend. It pushes me, makes me ask questions, drives me deeper into my faith. And there are times where I'm grateful for that. Because I'm a natural skeptic. I just am. And God has trained me through the last few years, and not just this one experience, many experiences of things where I go, come on. This past year, even, looked at God and said, come on. Really? Does it have to be this way? Did that have to happen? And I realized that I'm in good company. Like, if you look through the Psalms, you're going to find a ton of Psalms, people saying the exact same thing. Really? Are you listening? Are you paying attention to what's going on right now? And there's a rich history of doubtful faith, of Christians who lived in the desert of faith. Sometimes in the literal desert. The desert mothers and fathers, like St. John of the Cross, who talks about the dark night of the soul. It's just this, there's things that the dark night of the soul, that, that these places of doubt and despair can teach you that the green meadows can't. And that's what I've learned the last 7 or 8 years, is to be comfortable with mystery, to know that I don't have all the answers, and that's okay. That doesn't mean I'm not going to ask. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to question. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to push. Because sometimes I get a response. And so for me, faith is less about, in prayer, even though prayer is powerful and it can change things and does things, for me it's less about manipulating the world around me, but more about forming me. I pray so that I can become the person that God wants me to be within the situations and the world that we live in. And that's what I've learned. That's what God has been doing in me, is to be comfortable with mystery, comfortable with questions, comfortable with doubts, and being able to ask and search and push. So that's all I got.
You know, when you think about it, the only difference between faith and knowledge is doubt. Because if I have no doubt about something, then I know it. But faith, you have to have doubt to be able to have faith, even. That's what faith is. So if anybody else would like to come up, you are welcome to come up. I wanted to read a scripture to you, because Sally leaned over me at one point and said, isn't this cool, because we're getting to hear from people that we don't usually get to hear from. Have you noticed how many women have come up here? And that wasn't planned. I forgot to say this at the beginning, but children, you are welcome to come up. Teenagers, anyone is welcome to come up and share something God's done in your life. So this passage came to mind when she said that. Through the prophet Joel, God has revealed he's going to send these locusts, and it's going to be terrible, the destruction. But afterward, he said, afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And he talks about the signs that he's going to show afterwards. And to me, that's, I better not do that. That's just really refreshing, because that shows this is not a men's club, and this is not all about who can get up and perform. And it never has been. I hope you don't see it like that. But sometimes when we do church the same way every week, we kind of get this distance, or I don't know, maybe a little professionalism almost, to, well, that's a professional Christian, I'm just a regular Christian. What we need to understand is, like Sandy said, we are all priests. Every one of us is a regular Christian, because there is no other kind. We are failed. And I'm so glad that y'all took it the direction you did. I didn't think about that, that there is testimony in failure, in things that have struck us hard. One of the hardest lessons I've learned is, you know, we're always praying for God to move that mountain. It's in my way. I'm trying to get over, and there's a mountain in my way. Please, like you promised, move the mountain. And sometimes he does that. Usually, and this is a hard lesson, usually he moves me up the mountain, one step at a time, and he goes with me, holding my hand the whole way. So, again, Lane has the microphone if you'd like to take it to where you are, or you can come up here. Like we said, we're not having Bible class this morning, so this is it. And I think we've got Augustine ready to share the word with us.
Hello. You guys keep facing forward that way if it's okay. Ever since I can remember, I've been hellbound. Drugs, alcohol, since 8 years old, since I can remember, gas, glue, you name it, I've done it. But that's not the bad part of it. It's the stuff that came with it. The demons that were involved in all these situations. And knowing that it was wrong. Knowing that you're being beat on, tossed here and fro. Praying, not day after day, not week after week, not year after year, decade after decade after decade, every day, and him not answering. But still stayed in faith. Lord, I know, Lord, I know that this is not all you have for me. I know there's got to be something better than this. I stayed on my knees crying year after year. And then the time came, like 3 years ago, and I'm still on my knees crying because I'm so grateful. I don't have to cry for the pain no more. I cry because it's joy. I cry because it's freedom. So you keep on waiting. It's on his timing. Man, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for this freedom, for this joy, this peace. After all that hellbound, 40 years, 38 years, whatever it was, he's listening. He listens to everything, every tear you shed, he picks it up. It's not in vain. Man, that's why I cry out to the Lord. I'm so thankful, so grateful. He took me out of that hellbound. It was awful. But man, I'm so grateful today because he rescued me. He set me on a solid rock, the foundation of his word. And the freedom that he promises and the peace that he gives you. Thank you, Lord. That's all I have.
Thank you, brother. My name is Pete. This is going to be the third Sunday with y'all here. Now, I don't know what your name, but Jesus Christ knows your name, and he knows my name. And I didn't have no present this year, but I don't worry about that. I just wearing the steps I've been going through with the Lord. And this is my gift right here, brothers, and I appreciate it. I got me a Bible, and I go to study that Bible and read it, and don't let the devil touch my heart and trying to cheat me and stay in bed. I'm going to stay in bed, and I didn't have no Christmas this year, and after Jesus, I'm going to work, and Jesus been sending me over here for something, and then I don't want to say my story too much, but Lord knows what kind of steps I've been going through. And I just came for the Lord to know the people, the one to serve Jesus Christ for real heart and your love of Jesus Christ, for be a Christian for him. But in Jesus Christ, when he was walking in this land, he was working poor sea. And a lot of people used to go knock houses, the Lord did. And Jesus knocked houses for help, and people turned around and said, I don't got this. Sooner or later, he was walking. Somebody, a Christian people from church, turned around and helped Jesus. And that's why we got a lot of people from Jesus, and we pray, love, would you love each other, and we pray each other. If you got problems, pray for your problems. If you need help, pray for your help. If you need clothes, pray for your clothes. If you don't got no parents, no dad, pray for them in heaven. One of the days, God's going to take me to heaven, and I'll be in heaven with the Lord. And I've been serving Jesus Christ almost 16 years. And I used to be wild. I used to be fighter, jailhouses, prison. And Mary, my wife, passed away on me about 12, 13 years ago. And I got over, and I said, Jesus, I don't know that. Jesus knows my mind. He knows everybody's heart, and Jesus loves everybody for this Christmas week, because I knew Jesus born in Christmas. He was about 11 or 12 years old when he was walking in this earth when a lot of people didn't love him. And nobody knows how Jesus looks like. And the day we're going to see Jesus, the way we're going to be in heaven, that's where we're going to see Jesus. And that's why Jesus knows that I'm glad I'm here with y'all. And Jesus knows how can I help I need. He's the only one. And then I said, Jesus, thank you for seeing me somewhere. I can talk to all these Christian people and you, Lord, from heaven. And one of my friends back there. I like everybody. And I respect everybody. Would you love each other and help the poor see needs it. Amen.
Hey guys, most of you know me, I know most of you. I've never gotten to talk in front of you guys before. This is the first time I've ever gotten to do this. And like y'all said, it's a great new step for this church. It's something that I would have loved to do when I was younger. It's really difficult growing up and seeing, you know, your brother, who's been in detention all week, get to go and pass the plates, and you've tried your best all week to be the best person you can, and you have to sit there and draw faces in the carpet because of who you are, you know? And when you think about it, more than half of the population is female. And like we said today, we're getting to hear from people we've never got to hear before, and we're seeing all these different points of views, and it's eye-opening. And then in our very own church, we don't listen to over half the people in here most of the time. So I would just really like to congratulate all of us and congratulate all the younger girls here that this is changed now. We get to hear from everyone because God is for everyone. And I just think that's something we should celebrate.
Last call.